Welcome back to The Wise Divine Woman, where I help you go from fed up to faith-fueled with lots of great information and people to interview and to learn more about all the great tools and practitioners that are out there in the world that are helping you through this incredible transition to your wisdomhood. Today, I have Dr. David Rosensweet, and he has the Institute for Bioidentical Medicine, all that great bioidentical hormones that we've talked about in the past, and also the founder of the Menopause Method. And I love this because it's proven, it's a track record, and it's such a wealth of information. I've been to the websites, and it's just lots of great information. So Dr. Rosenberg, I thank you so much, Rosensweet, sorry, to join me today out of your super crazy schedule. And I know that you have put so much time and effort and knowledge into this natural transition of life, which I think it's a bad apple. And we really mentally have prepared or unprepared ourselves as women that we get gobsmacked with the symptoms, and we get told about it, but no one ever speaks about it. That's where I come from in providing all sorts of information and asking the crazy questions. But yeah, so in your practice, you come across so many women. What brought you to this point of being an advocate for women in menopause?
Well, thank you for having me. And two things brought me here. I began, after graduation from medical school, really launching into what ultimately became named functional medicine. And I never tried to guide my practice. I loved it. I loved medical school. I loved getting out into practice. And then about 30 years ago, one of my patients who was in her early 40s that I knew really well, she had been so successful, she'd been able to retire in her early 40s. Think about that one. And she came storming into my office one morning before office hours, went right into my consultation room, right up to my desk, and was so upset. And she said, "You got to help me. I'm telling you, I'm going crazy. I'm not kidding you about going crazy. Don't think you know me. I'm going crazy." And shall we say serendipitously, or if you believe in the divine, you know that it doesn't work like that. It's not just pure serendipity. I had been speaking to a world expert on progesterone a couple weeks before. And it sort of matched up in my mind. And I gave Deborah some progesterone. And 3 weeks later, I got a letter from her saying, "I can't believe this stuff.
Yeah,
I'm totally myself again. Thank you so much." Well, that was very dramatic, because by the time someone makes an appointment to see a doctor, there's usually a lot of water under the bridge. They're not doing that well. Yeah. And things don't necessarily go back to healing so instantly. But again, I never tried to control my practice. Before I knew it, I was getting one new menopausal woman after another, after another, after another. And it was fascinating to me. It was really a great thing for me, because for one thing, I was dealing with a lot of basically healthy women and committed women to their health who had fallen off the horse, so to speak, because of what happens when a woman loses her ovarian hormones, these most powerful biochemicals, amongst the most powerful biochemicals in her body, or when men lose their testosterone. That's a big deal. And so I didn't have to work with these long-standing, deep nutritional toxicity, stress biology issues that are behind every diagnosis. No, replenish the hormones, and they got back in their life and did their great work.
It is such a huge struggle for people. And again, it's this education that people aren't recognizing. Oh, okay, I'm perimenopausal, or I'm going through this, and where do you turn? And or they have no idea what's going on. They're just going, like most women, when you get that drop, the brain fog, the the brain fog just sets right in. And then you're just so bewildered and unsure. And then the whole spiral of dementia and, oh my gosh, all these things that we go through and the mental health aspect. And it's amazing how not something is simple, because I know that doing bioidenticals is not simple. It's very precise and there's testing to do, and it's and sometimes it doesn't work, and sometimes it's a life-changing event. And it's amazing that you've dedicated your time to really being precise and understanding these things, right? And it does
take... I reached a point where the functional medicine knowledge base that covered diabetes and cancer and dementia and heart issues, the knowledge base had gotten so big, I couldn't get my mind around it all. And I didn't have the time to become. And so I made a decision soon after Deborah, that I was going to focus in on menopause and andropause.
Yeah.
And it was the greatest medical decision I ever made, because it allowed me to learn a great deal about a nice handleable subject. And so you can become really, really knowledgeable. Well, modern medicine had done that. It had differentiated off into these specialties. Why did that happen? Because people couldn't get their knowledge. They couldn't be a general surgeon anymore and do good work. You had to narrow down. The other thing that happened that I did want to mention that was so significant is this field, Dana, as you know so well, has had a poison pill dropped into it like no other field in medicine, called in 2002, false information broke out into the world via the press that was false, but it suggested that women who were treated with hormones were at greater risk for breast cancer. And that was false.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how it was exploded out into the world. And before you knew it, physicians and women all over the world were terrified of these hormones.
Yeah.
So this field got stunted.
Yeah. I think the field in general, when it comes to breast health, is stunted and numb. And no one talks about it. And everyone's...
I talk about it.
Yeah. Everyone's afraid to talk about breast health, right? Being outside of cancer. No one is, and that's where I try and get women to touch their tatas as much as they can and think about them, not as a separate entity and not as a fear factor, but as as their divine or as their womanhood and as a proactive approach. And it is really important to understand that hormones are so beneficial, but breast illness doesn't just come from that. It comes from a multitude of things. Like, there's so many factors.
Exactly.
And it's just being this. But if you're debilitated with so many symptoms, then it's helping and assisting the transition into postmenopause with the aid of the hormone. The technology is there. The education is there. The research is there for what you do. And I don't think that we talk about it enough, right? And it is that big scare. Yeah.
One thing I might be able to serve your audience with is being one more voice that gives my opinion on the science of it all.
I would love it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. We're all at risk. Every human being is at risk for thousands of diagnoses. And some of them are not good. In fact, we're at risk for hundreds and hundreds of cancers, everyone, man and woman. And it turns out in this day and age that as a man, for example, I happen to be at increased relative risk for prostate cancer. And there's reasons for it. It's not just like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And women happen to be at increased relative risk for breast cancer. And there's reasons for that. And they're modern reasons, because when I was in medical school, breast cancer was just one of many cancers and there wasn't such an increased relative risk. But given the basic knowledge that we are at risk, here's the science. Women who are treated with hormones are at less risk for breast cancer, heart attack, and stroke than women who are not treated with hormones. That's the science.
And you mean bioidentical?
No, I mean all hormones.
Even birth control?
Well, birth control is a subject unto itself, and no woman is going to be properly treated in menopause with birth control pills.
No. I understand that, but do you think that the reason...
But even Premarin, even hormones that were derived from horse urine, and it was no accident that they were, those women are at less risk for breast cancer, heart attack, and stroke than women who are not being treated with hormones. That's why I use the word hormones. I'm including what scared people. What we knew in the 2002 study when it was stopped was that already they knew that women who were treated with Premarin, horse urine-derived estrogens, were at less risk for breast cancer than women who did not receive Premarin. What they challenged was the PremPro, the combination of Premarin with a progestin. Now, I'm not an advocate for Premarin PremPro. I've never written a prescription for it.
Yeah.
No. And when I started out in the early 90s, I knew about bioidenticals. And like you've mentioned a couple times, I saw what, number one, they're identical molecules which come out of the ovary or come out of the testicles. That seems to me a little better than what comes out of horses' ovaries or horses' testicles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is no Premarin for men. But at any rate, so I immediately gravitated to identical molecule.
Right.
And then you mentioned it already, the level of precision that can be achieved with treated with compounded bioidentical hormones is so far and above what you can achieve with other products. It's so much better. But having said that, we're big tent. We want women and doctors to choose what they want in the world of hormones, because you get hormones, you're going to do better.
Yeah.
But of course, I'm an advocate for compounded bioidentical hormones like big time. But you do get, I mean, the women who were on Premarin since the 1940s, women were on horse urine derived estrogens. And you know what? Those women who were on that, they did so much better.
So
40% of the women in menopause.
Why the switch? Why this drastic campaign against that?
Because there was a study called the Women's Health Initiative. It was one of the largest and most expensive studies ever done. Its design was horrible. I won't go into those details because they're not that relevant. But in 2002, the study was stopped because of primarily one of the doctors on the study committee who knows how misogynistic energy enters this planet, but it does. And maybe you've noticed it. I'm just being facetious, of course.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And when the doctor proposed to the committee that he wanted to stop the study, the committee members said, no, why? Women on Premarin are at less risk for breast cancer. And the women who... You're seeing this 1.26, but it's statistically insignificant. There is no statistically significant increase in risk on PremPro even. But it was too late. He said it's too late. I'm holding a press conference this afternoon, and we've already published the article in JAMA, and it's being distributed right now. And this is described in great detail in the Bible of Risk and Hormones. It's a book called Estrogen Matters.
Beautiful.
In which an oncologist, a medical doctor named Avram Blooming, and Carol Tavris, a PhD, Estrogen Matters. It goes into the story in great detail, and it is the Bible on risk. And Dr. Blooming is the world authority on risk. And I summarize this in our book, Happy Healthy Hormones for Women. And you're welcome to offer your audience a free PDF copy of it. You can post
beautiful.
The link. If you just contact Karina, she'll give you the link where your audience. And in chapter 3, I give more elaborate than what I've been saying here. And you know what? I'd even like to go further. Here's the science. Women who have had breast cancer, and they have that breast cancer properly treated and thoroughly treated, they happen to be at an increased relative risk for recurrence of that cancer than women who've never had cancer are at risk for getting cancer. However, if those women who've had breast cancer and had that breast cancer properly treated, might be surgery, might be radiation, might even be chemo, but if it's properly treated, they're at less risk for recurrence if they're treated with hormones than if they are not. It goes that far.
Why is that?
Pardon? Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, the exact reason why, I can't tell you. I can propose some reasons. But the science is, as per the studies, that women who've had breast cancer and had the breast cancer properly treated have less risk for recurrence if they're treated with hormones. Now, here's why, I think. Any woman who's lost her hormones, well, 84% of women who go into menopause have life-stopping or life-altering symptoms. Can't sleep well, they can't think well, and on and on and on. Because these hormones are some of the most powerful biochemicals in our body. And women, like, for example, they affect energy production. They help the immune system. What we know about COVID is young women did better than young men because it's an immune system thing, the benefit conferred upon estrogen. So there's all kinds of reasons why. Mm-hmm. And any woman who's gone into menopause and has gotten more tired and doesn't think clearly and can't sleep, how does that affect your health? All you got to do is lose a few nights sleep and tell me how that affects your health.
It's a snowball effect, right? It's just a multitude.
So there's a lot of basic reasons why these hormones that affect so many different systems, it's much better. You're much healthier and you're much better off. Right. But the science remains, women who are treated with hormones are at less risk for breast cancer, heart attack, and stroke. And women who've had breast cancer and had their breast cancer properly treated are, even though they're at an increased risk, relative risk for recurrence, they're at less risk for recurrence if they're treated with hormones.
Wow. I did not know that. And that is absolutely fascinating. And it makes total sense because you're trying to bring the body back up to homeostasis. And if it's not at homeostasis, like that good balance of things for your age and for longevity, if it's not there, then things still spiral out of control, whether it's heart disease, insulin resistance, you know, diabetes and cancer. So that makes perfect sense. And if we can't make our own, right. Just because of a multitude of reasons, then that's where the hormone replacement comes into play. And it is it's a fine balance with things. And especially when it comes to longevity, and especially even with just bone loss and or cardiovascular health, like we know these things. It's like talking about inflammation, right? It's a pretty broad thing. And saying hormones is a pretty broad sort of idea, but if you don't reduce inflammation, you will get ABC. If you don't restore hormones, which is everything about your body, ABCD, EFG happens, right? And
it does.
It's amazing. So, and so with the menopause method or with the bioidentical medicine, how accessible is it to women, not only in the US, but in around the world?
Well, it's a good question. In the United States, it's accessible to 100% of the women. Mm-hmm. Some form of treatment with hormones. However, there's barriers. Mm-hmm. Like, even though the science is so clear and is so eloquently and elegant and precisely defined by Dr. Blooming, the less risk thing, the medical community was so poisoned by that false information in 2002 that what they missed was that committee kept studying those women. And by 2006, it had realized that even the progestin arm that had a 1.26 statistically insignificant increased risk, that disappeared. There was no risk even then. They knew it by 2006. They got around to publishing by 2017. The same committee that did the WHI reported in the same journal that after 18 years of follow-up, there is no increased risk of breast cancer, heart attack, and stroke. They published that.
And that was with both the estrogen and the progesterone? Or was that just
yes,
the progesterone?
Everything. It was everything. Yeah, it was everything. After 18 years of follow-up, there is no increased risk in women being treated with hormones of breast cancer, heart attack, and stroke. They published it. Zillions of people heard the 2002 false information. Very few physicians, very few women were heard about the retraction. The retraction was not publicized. Well, when the original came out, I dived deep in to see, am I putting women at increased risk? Oh, no, no, it's statistically insignificant. I'm reading the study. How many people read the study, the details of the study? Very few.
Very few.
I said, and then there's the European literature that shows less risk, so I'm going to carry on with my treating of women. And then I watched over time that they retracted it, but there's so few physicians that know about the retraction. Now, it is getting out there. The big medical societies are starting to publish stuff like, oh, this has been retracted. Well, maybe it is okay to treat women in menopause with hormones. Well, maybe you should treat them for their whole lives rather than just a small amount for a short period of time, which was someone's fantasy. So it is getting out there, but it's leaking out slowly.
So how is that going to affect the process when it comes to breast cancer? Like, how is that going to impact that? Like, I don't understand where this 1 in 8 breast cancer statistic comes from.
And well, we are under, and you said it earlier on, in order to maintain health in this world, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
You know, 200 years ago, nutrition was about getting enough calories.
Yeah.
Because if you did, you got it from food that was natural.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all food was organic up until the 1940s. You were getting it from organic food and it had the right amount of minerals. And then they started spraying herbicides and pesticides on this food and using fertilizers. And this was a big problem because how much herbicide or pesticide does it take to knock off an ant or a bug or an insect or to kill an herb? What do you use? Fairy dust? That'll do it. No. These chemicals that have been sprayed on American agriculture and all over the world, they're super strong and they're super poisonous. And it's why, God bless, Robert F. Kennedy has been suing the producers of this for 40 years, trying to stop the poisoning.
Yeah.
Because these things accumulate in us. And it's not like drinking a glass of arsenic, which knocks you off pretty quickly. And you know this very well, it's day after day after day, and there's exposures to the food, there's exposures to the toxins in the water, on and on and on. So we get a big hit. And you know, all these herbicides and pesticides and most toxic chemicals, they happen to be fat soluble, and they're toxic.
And what do we do right now? Increase all of our fats. So
we're doing that, but when you stop and think about it, when they go into your body, how does the body handle them? Mm-hmm. Well, we wish that it would eliminate them instantly, but it doesn't. They accumulate in the fat tissue. Mm-hmm. Well, when they accumulate in our love handles, okay, they accumulate, but they distribute to the fat all over the body. And breast is primarily fat.
Yeah.
So when they accumulate in the breast, Well, my God, young women once a month, they're producing new breast cells. These cells are undergoing mitosis, cell division, mm-hmm. once a month, preparing for possible breastfeeding. Even a woman who's not fertilized, once a month, she produces new breast cells. She can feel it very often. Her breasts get more full.
Yeah.
Those are new cells, a lot of that. And there's a very vulnerable time in a cell's life. It's when it's dividing. The genes are exposed.
Yeah.
And where have the toxins accumulated? In the breast.
Breast. And the accumulation, right?
And these things are cancer producing. Mm-hmm. Now, most of us are most resilient that it's not 8 out of 8 women who get breast cancer or 8 out of 8 men that get prostate cancer, because there's a similar thing that goes on in men. No, but if there's 1 out of 8 that does, because of the vulnerability of so many health detrimental things that diminish our power to even get rid of these abnormal cells. We should be healthy enough to do that. But immune system these days are not that healthy. No. And in America, Canada's not a lot different, but in America, how did we do with COVID? Worse than everybody in the world. Most every place in the world. America had more deaths and more debility. Why? Because the American immune systems aren't up for the task.
Yeah.
Why did that happen? Well, you named it. Obesity, diabetes, on and on and on. And so I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love that you touched on that, because it does go back to ensuring that you have an idea for your life and understanding of your health from an inflammatory, from an immune response, and from a toxicity level. And that is many different aspects, but it is recognizing and understanding that these are the potential impacts to your body for detrimental health, period. Like, these are so important. And if you have these impacts, your hormones are diminishing naturally. But if you're
they are diminishing naturally, but if I may interrupt you for a moment,
right ahead.
These impacts add up.
Yeah.
And they really make a difference.
Yeah.
So although hormones do not cause cancer.
No, it's the fact, hormone mimickers. It's all
well,
of those
things. The hormones don't cause cancer, but cancer has plenty of causes.
Mm-hmm.
And they add up to nutritional problems, toxicity problems, too little or too much exercise, and the elephant in the room, a dysfunctional response to the stress of life. Stress of life is normal, but anytime you get stressed, the chemicals that you produce to fight the saber-toothed tiger suppress your immune system. So there's definitely causes of illness, and there's even mystery. There's a lot of illnesses that are not explainable by ordinary means. Mm-hmm. How does an infant come and live 6 weeks? You know, you don't explain that usually by ordinary means.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, there's causes to all these illnesses, but they're not hormones. Hormones are not the causes.
No. It's the everything else that surrounds the body.
That's right.
So with the last few moments here, what are some really key things that you want women to really understand when it comes to hormones and hormone replacements? Like, what are the 5 things you really wanted to pinpoint? I mean, other than everything you talk about is in your book, and that study is so important in understanding and educating ourselves from what is just put out there for us. But what are some really great things that we are going to say, I need hormones and I need them, and how do we recognize that? I don't know if that comes off properly. What are some really key things that you want to say that, yes, you need to have hormones, and yes, this is why?
Well, thank you. That's a great question.
I know I need hormones, right? But it's like,
well, everyone does. Yeah. Every man and woman, our peak, most powerful biochemicals in our body, the hormones, peak at age 20, plus or minus a couple of years, and they all decline in every man and woman, and no one escapes.
Yeah.
And the consequences of that decline are monumental. Let's take men, lose their erection, tell a man how good that is for them, how much they love that. They do not love that. They get very upset by that. And they lose their drive and they lose their muscles. Oh, let me mention muscles. In 1968, when I was a senior medical student, we had a lunchtime talk at our hospital by a gerontologist. And the gerontologist said, you senior medical students, you know thousands of diagnoses. Let me tell you what's really happening to older people. They're losing their muscle and they're losing their bone. And they can't stand and walk with stability and they fall and they fracture their hip and they die. Back in those days, they did. You want to do something for older people? Help them with their muscles and their bones. And without testosterone, one of the hormones that comes out of a woman's ovary, in fact, there's more testosterone in a woman than there is estradiol, her most potent estrogen. Testosterone is not a male hormone. It's a human hormone. And any person who's taken care of an elderly parent and watched what's happened to them is they lose their ability to walk. They start walking with a cane, then a walker, then a wheelchair, and then very few of them can stay at home. They go into nursing homes. So we have on our medical board, one of our doctors has been helping nursing homes for 30 years. And I asked her, what percentage of women and men are in nursing homes because of muscle loss? She says about 80 or 90. So I'm giving you the most important reason for replenishing hormones is you're going to lose your muscles unless you replenish those androgens, 95% of you. And does exercise count? You betcha it does. We all know that.
Yeah,
but you also got to have the androgens.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to replenish those androgens. And you can lose your bladder because of the loss of androgens. So want to keep walking? And then for many women, so many women wind up in nursing homes because they've lost their cognitive function. Like my own mother, she lost so much cognitive function that she barely remembered me. And those people are in nursing homes. Now she got into the nursing home because of walking. She couldn't walk anymore and she lost her ability to control her bladder. So you want to stay out of nursing homes and keep walking and talking. And staying at home, replenish those hormones. That's the most important thing I have to say to you because I'm a physician. I have this long range view. I've worked with women and men in their 70s and 80s and 90s. I know what's happening to them. You tell a 40-year-old that you really want to be careful around your hormones, it doesn't register.
Mm-hmm.
You tell a 60-year-old, I don't know, there's this risk thing. But you tell a 70-year and 80-year-old, that's losing. So that's the most important. Here's the second most important thing. In this day and age, here's a woman's job. Go shopping. It's a man's job too. Find someone in your area. And now because of telemedicine, it only has to be in someone in your state or your province. Because the menopause and andropause medicine work beautifully by telemedicine. You don't need to see them in person. You need a primary care provider for in-person needs, but not for menopause and andropause. Find someone in your state or your province that's gotten good at hormones because y'all want someone who's good at it. Why? Yeah. Because there's so much variation woman to woman in how much you need.
Yeah.
Some young women, they have this much estrogen and they're healthy and they're fertile and they have regular. And some other women need three times that much. And that's just estrogen variation. Same goes for progesterone and testosterone. You throw all that variability in there. You want someone who knows how to dial it in for all three of those hormones. So you want someone who goes, God, I love hormones. Some provider, some prescriber. I'm really interested in hormones. In fact, I'm taking it on as a specialty. That's the one you want to go shopping for.
Exactly.
So you start with your women friends. Because invariably, there's some woman who has already been taking hormones.
Mm-hmm.
You say, who do you like? Because you want to find a provider who's really gone the extra 9 yards. We don't learn this in medical school. We don't learn it in internship and residency. Even in obstetrics and gynecology residencies, this is not taught. They have had to go to a postgraduate education courses. That's the main thing I do. is we have a very thorough training and mentoring program for physicians and nurse practitioners and PAs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing that I do, is I train and mentor physicians. And you want someone who's been great, who's getting great at it.
I love it.
And then if your friends aren't doing it, go walk into, in person, a local compounding pharmacy. They're the ones who are making up these compounded pharmacies, and they know who's prescribing in your area. And not only that, they know who's good. They can tell by the prescriptions if someone knows what they're doing or whether they don't. And they have personal contact with them. I say going in person because they're usually busy and they're not going to necessarily tell you over the phone. But if they see a living human being, they care too. These are very sensitive professionals. And if you ask, they see your face and they talking to you in person, and you ask them, they're far more likely to give you the answer. So that's those amazing. Are different ways to do it. Or go to bright.live. We refer people, we've trained hundreds and hundreds of physicians all over the United States, and we're getting into Canada.
Very nice.
Because I've got four nieces in Canada that we're already treating.
Mm-hmm.
And because my brother is a Canadian citizen, so we've got a heavy desire to get.
It's a heavy desire. It's a big hurdle to jump. That's for sure with Canada.
It is. It is. And it's a big hurdle in the United States.
Yes, and we do have some prescribing, and it's not for the faint of heart because it does cost. But it is definitely necessary, and I love it. And I love how you really have focused in on the aspect of bone loss and muscle loss and dementia, and you know, which is beyond menopause. And it is this, we have to stop backpedaling on our health, and we have to start being proactive. So someone has to start looking at things 5, 10, 20 years ahead and living their life for that focus. If you want to live the blue zone life, you've got to step back and be proactive about the hormones, your toxicity, your food, and your mental health. Right? Oh, it sounds so simple.
It does.
Thank you. Honestly, I love talking hormones, and I love talking about bioidenticals and everything you spoke about today. And I love, and I'm going to go research this study. So, because there's many aspects to health that we need to research ourselves. And I love that you have spent the time with me today to do this. And I'm going to add all the information and all the links that for everybody who listens to get in touch with that. And I'll talk to Karina. And I thank you so much for spending this time out of your busy day.
You're welcome, Dana. And thanks for what you do. It takes an army.
It does.
To help this world heal. And there you are on the front lines.
I try. Thank you so much, God willing. But you have an amazing week. And I thank you so much for today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.